listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
My word is a lamp.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's really good to be back here another Saturday evening to continue in the epistle of Paul to the Romans. We are now going to start chapter 7. Last week we finished chapter 6, and we are going to now begin chapter 7. But before we begin, let us pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace, which is sufficient for us. Thank you for your new mercies each day. Your word tells us, O God, that your compassion fail not. Great is your faithfulness. So we bless your name. We praise you and honor you. Thank you, O God, for this opportunity to bring forth your word to your people. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus for those that are listening, that their hearts, O God, will be inclined towards your words. O God, as the word come forth, it will pierce the deep recesses of the hearts of your people, bringing forth change. Lord, we thank you, O God Almighty, that you are God with us and you are greater than all. So help us to find our rest in you. Lord, we thank you for those that are not yet saved, that they will come to know you through your word. For your word said, faith comes by hearing, hearing by your word. So we pray as your word go forth, O Holy Spirit, that you will touch their hearts. Open up their hearts, O God, to receive you, Jesus. O God, that they will come to know, O God, and have that sweet relationship with you. Lord, we thank you right now for what you have done, what you're doing, what you're about to do. And thank you for your grace that you have allocated to us this evening to bring forth this word in such a way, O God, that lives will be changed. Lord, we thank you and we look to you by faith. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you guide us into all truth. And I thank you that your truth, O God, will set us free. We give you glory, we give you honor and praise as we look to you by faith. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and say, Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. We're going on in the epistle of Paul to the Romans. And last week, we finished chapter 6. But before I go on to chapter 7, I want to read the last verse of chapter 6, and then I'll go on to chapter 7. Chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, verse 23 said, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The payment for sin is death, being eternally separated from God. God has made a way out through his beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who brought the gift of eternal life. He brought the gift of eternal life, but we have to receive that gift. We have to accept the gift of salvation. And I asked that question last week before I close. I asked that question, will you receive the gift of salvation? Jesus Christ has paid it all for us. So we now have to receive what he has given us. He has brought salvation for us so we can be rescued from the wrath of God. People of God, he has paid it all to him we owe. So we need to turn to him wholeheartedly and live that life pleasing to him. Because we able to do what we need to turn to him wholeheartedly. We ask for things through his mighty power. His Holy Spirit has come to live in us. And he enables us to live this Christian life. We can't live this at all. As we turn to Romans chapter 7, he enables us to live the Christian life. But we have to come to acknowledge that we can't do it on our own. But as we yield to the Holy Spirit, as we surrender all to him, he lives the life of Christ through us. So we can show for the glory and praise of our Lord Jesus Christ, because his spirit lives in us and works through us. So we want to be completely yielded to the Holy Spirit and allow him to work through us. So we are going to look at Romans chapter 7, verse 1. Paul said, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he liveth." So Paul was saying, the law is your master as long as you live. So once you're living, once you're alive, the law rules over you, over us. So it is, Paul was just bringing forth a truth in such a way that they would be able to understand what he's trying to say. And as we go on further, we will understand exactly what Paul was saying here. Look on verse 2. He said, "For the woman which has an husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband." So Paul was saying that a woman who has an husband is bound by that contract as long as the husband is alive. But if the husband should die, she is now free from that binding agreement. Verse 3. "So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband is dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man." So Paul was saying that if this woman marries another man while her husband is still alive, she has become an adulteress. She has broken the law. So she has become an adulteress. She has broken the contract. But if her husband dies, she is free from that contract. And if she marries another man after the death of her husband, she is not an adulteress. What was Paul saying? Look at verse 4 of Romans 7. "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." So Paul gave the analogy of the marriage union. And we see, people of God, the marriage contract is likened unto the union now, the covenant relationship that we have with Christ, that the church, the bride of Christ, has with Christ. So we are now married to Christ. We are the bride of Christ. So what was Paul saying? He brought forth this analogy of the marriage union, that as long as the husband is alive, the wife is bound to him by the law. But if he dies, she is freed from that law. So because of this truth, he was saying to the brethren that those who have put their trust in Christ and the sacrifice that he has made at the cross for us are now free from the bondage of the law. That we now should be married to another who is Christ. We now should be united with Christ. Just as a man and a woman, when they got married, they became one. They were now united as one. So we, as the body of Christ, should be united to Christ. So we now are married to another who is Christ. When we gave up the old sinful lifestyle, we have now become united with Christ, who was raised from the dead. He did not stay in the grave. He took our sins, our shame, our grief, our pain, everything that was against us, he took it to the cross and he buried it. And as he rose in his resurrection body, as he rose in his new body and lives forevermore, he's calling the bride of Christ to arise and live the new life that is in him. So Paul was saying that we have to be united with him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. We should bring forth fruit. What fruit is Paul speaking about? When we are united with Christ and living for him, then we are going to show forth Christ-like character in every area of our lives. That fruit there means is the Christ-likeness that will be seen in us. The Christ-like character that will be demonstrated daily in our lives. So what was Paul saying? That we should now bring forth fruit unto God. We're going to refer to John 15:8. John 15:8 says, herein, Jesus was speaking here. He said, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. This is how my Father gets the glory. When you bear fruit. What fruit was Jesus speaking about? When you live like me. When you show forth my characteristics in every area of your life. When you live according to my ways, my will. Look at Galatians 5. Refer to Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And we're going to look at the fruit. The word says you now should bring forth fruit unto God. Galatians 5, 22, 23 said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. You're going to be showing forth love in your life. Joy. You're going to be people who are joyful. And joy does not depend on our circumstances, people of God. We might be going through trials and testings and trouble, but still we can have that joy. Why? Because Christ has put joy in our lives. The Holy Spirit is our joy. So we have joy. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. We have a shalom, the state of well-being, the state of wholeness, that inner tranquility, that rest that comes only from Christ. Long-suffering. We're able to bear up with some things for a long time. We're able to endure. We become people who are gentle. Paul said, let your gentleness be known to all men. We want to be people who are gentle, not only to some people, but to all those we come in contact with. Gentleness is a fruit also. Goodness, we will show forth goodness, because goodness is in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Faith, we will be people of faith who believe God no matter what. We will be meek. We will have strength and power under control. We will be temperate in all things, self-controlled. The Bible said, against such there is no law. Against such there is no law. What does that mean? Human effort and the law cannot produce these righteous fruit. Our human effort cannot bring forth God's righteousness, people of God. This is a product of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who produces in us these righteous fruit. So for us to bring forth fruit unto God, we have to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. And that is what this chapter is about. Showing us the struggle that we go through. The struggle to live the Christian life. But as we yield to the Holy Spirit in us, we are going to find that grace allocated to us to help us to live that life pleasing unto God, showing forth Christ-like characteristics. We want to bear His name, bear His character, identify with Him. We want to be like Jesus. Our desire should be to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Look at verse 5 of Romans chapter 7. For when we were in the flesh, the motion of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. So Paul was saying, when we were operating our lives by our fleshly or our carnal mind, the waves of sinful activities which we became aware of by the law did manifest in our actions, which show forth sinfulness, sinful results, leading to our own destruction. That was when we were
in sin. That was when, before we came to Christ, when we were lost, when we were dead in our sins and in our trespasses, when we were in the flesh. That was how we used to operate, by our old carnal nature, by the old Adamic nature that we have inherited, that sinful nature. That's how we used to operate. But we are not supposed to operate that way anymore, people of God. We are supposed to show forth the glory and praise of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are supposed to bear fruit of righteousness. We are supposed to bear the fruit of the Spirit, and only the Holy Spirit can produce His fruit in us. But we have to be yielded to Him. Body, soul, and spirit yielded to the Holy Spirit. And we are going to see Christ-likeness in every area of our lives. Look at verse 6 of Romans chapter 7. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So Paul was saying that now through Christ we are rescued from the hold that the law had on us. That now the law which has held us captive is removed. And the new covenant is established in Christ, that we should serve God in newness of spirit and not in the old ways of the law. That we should now serve God in newness of spirit and not in the old ways of the law. And people of God, we're going to refer to Hebrews 8, 6 through 13. Hebrews 8:6-13. And we're going to see exactly what Paul was saying here. He said, but now has he obtained a more excellent ministry, by no much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for another, for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the day cometh, said the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day in which I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, said the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be my people. What did this word say? The word said, the Lord said, I am going to put my law in their minds and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach everyone his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Verse 13. In that he says, a new covenant he has made, the first old. Now that which decayed and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. The old covenant. Now that which decayed, it decays and waxes old, and is ready to vanish away. And the old covenant has now vanished away, and the new covenant, people of God, is established in Christ Jesus. The new covenant, so we can now serve God in newness of spirit Because the word is now written. The law is now written in our minds and in our heart. The Lord said, I will put my law into their mind and I will write it in their hearts. So it's a hard thing. People of God is not looking upon some laws and commandments and trying to live them each day and checking off which one you did right and which one you didn't do right. But the Holy Spirit in us writes the laws of God in our hearts and shows us how to live. He prompts us to live right. He shows us when we are going off track. He convicts us of sin and shows when we are walking in righteousness. He gives us his approval when we are walking in righteousness. And he nudges us and tells us you are wrong. You're going on the wrong track. So the Holy Spirit in us is now doing the work that we were trying to do for ourselves. And that's what was happening then. As the Israelites tried to live the law, they couldn't live it. They couldn't keep the old covenant. But something had to be in place to keep God's people in check. Something had to be in place to put boundaries around them so they would not live lawlessly like the rest of the world. But Christ came in the form of sinful flesh and he punished sin in the flesh. He took care of the sin problem, so sin has no more dominion over God's people. We don't have to say yes to the sin nature anymore, but we say yes to Christ Jesus. We say yes to the Holy Spirit. We yield to him. We give way to him and allow him to live the life through us. So we can now walk in newness of life. The old man is to remain dead, and the new man seen. If any man be in Christ, the word of God said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. The old ways of living are passed away. Behold, look, everything has become new. And that's how God wants us to live, the new life. The new life. Because Christ has made all things new for us. But people of God, there's a tendency to go back to the old ways of life. If the mind is not renewed, the mind has to be renewed with the word of God. So that we can respond in every situation by the word of God. So if the word is not in us, people of God, we find ourselves going back to the old ways of living. The word of God tells us that God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. The word illuminates our path so we don't stumble and go back into sinful lifestyle. But God is calling us, people of God, to live the new life. The new life that truly counts. So we are going to go on to verse 7. And we're going to see the struggle that we have, people of God. The struggle that Christians have with sin. We do struggle. And Paul made it so clear in these verses as we go along. We will see how, when we so desire to do good, we find ourselves doing the opposite. We do wrong instead. And we feel frustrated many times on the Christian walk. But God is saying to us today, yield to the Holy Spirit. Offer up yourself to him completely. Surrender all to Jesus. And we are going to see the difference in our lives. We are going to respond now according to the word. Our minds are going to be renewed with the word of God. So as these words come forth, people of God, it's for us to know that our minds have to be renewed with the word of God. Look at verse 7 of Romans chapter 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. So what was Paul saying here? Paul was asking the question first of all, how shall we respond to all that was said about the law? Is the law sinful? He asked that question. Certainly not. He answered his own question. God forbid. Certainly not. By no means the law is sinful. No, but by the law I am now aware of sin. Paul was saying that if the law did not say, thou shalt not covet, he would not even know. He would not even be aware of his covetousness. He would not be aware of the covetous desire that is in himself. So it is showing us the law points out our sins. The law shows us our sinfulness, but was not in a state to help us. But people of God, today we have the Holy Spirit in us to help us to live God's law perfectly. We can live it as we surrender our lives completely to the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 8 of Romans chapter 7. But sin taking occasion by the commandments wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. Paul was saying that sin was having its effect on his life by the commandments, working in him all types of evil desires. For without the law, he was not aware that his lifestyle was sinful. So the law points out his sinfulness, but was not able to help him to live right. The law points out his sinfulness. You're wrong here, you're wrong there. But the law was not in a position to help him. The law was about putting out human effort to live right. Our own human effort cannot help us to live right. But it is the Holy Spirit in us who helps us to live that holy, that righteous life. Because of ourselves, we can do nothing, Jesus reminds us. But we can do all things through Christ. The Word of God tells us, who strengthens us. His Holy Spirit is with us. He is in us. And he enables us to do what we can't humanly do. People of God, we have to understand that our human effort will cause us to become frustrated on this journey. But when we rely upon the Holy Spirit, when we yield to him, when we surrender to him, then we are going to see the fruit of righteousness produced in us by the Spirit. He is the only one who can produce the fruit of righteousness in us. We are going to stop here for this evening. God bless you all for listening. And I trust that as these words go forth, we will come to understand how we need to yield to the Holy Spirit power in our lives and allow him to live this Christian life through us. It's a struggle to live the Christian life, people of God, but we don't have to struggle. We need to yield. Yield ourselves completely to the Lord, and he will live the life through us. God bless you this evening. Thank you all for listening. And we're going to pray at this time and close. Father, we thank you again for your word to us. We thank you that you're God, and we thank you through the enablement of your Holy Spirit. We can live this life holy and pleasing to you. We pray in the name of Jesus, Almighty God, that we will come to that place of complete surrender to you, Lord. We will give everything to you, knowing that, oh God, we owe this flesh nothing to live after it, but we owe you everything. So we give, oh God, everything into your care this evening. We cast all our cares on you and rely on you to take care of your people as we continue to look to you by faith. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise as we pray and give thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and we say amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful evening and a wonderful weekend. And may you continue to glean from the word of God. God bless you. Blessings. Amen.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us in 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.